Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I just want to, I'm Ben. Everybody here knows me, right? Okay. Just making sure I know all of you. If you're visiting this morning, welcome. This is a little different, but we love kids at this church, and we want to celebrate with you. Like Pastor Justin said, it's good to come to the Lord as a child does. Just free. And so I'm going to talk this morning about the struggles of life. But before I start, I want to thank all of the volunteers who gave their week, their evenings to host 5 or 6 kids and walk around with them. I think the crew leaders who were in charge of a crew probably had the hardest job. And we had also site leaders who would prepare for weeks before to give the lessons. We had help in registration and snacks and crafts. But I just want to thank those who came and gave their time to help. So if you were a crew leader, site leader, any adult that helped at VBS, would you stand up, please? And we'll give you a big hand. Come on, stand up. And to the families, the kids, and the parents, I just want to thank kids for coming, because that's why we have it. We have it for you. You guys, you kids are awesome. We had, the come through the doors, 200 about? Yeah. Almost 200 kids come through the doors this week. That's a lot. And with all the volunteers, this place was as packed as it is this morning. So let's give a hand to all the kids who came to VBS. So our theme is shipwrecked, right? Rescued by Jesus. And this is the island up here, and you guys are in the ocean. You're in the ocean. The ocean is an amazing place. If you're going to be the ocean, though, we need to put you in motion. So I know you just sat down, so you're going to have to stand up. And you're going to have to grab somebody's hand next to you. We're going to make some waves across the ocean and back. So just like that old 80s dance move, right? Arm up, we'll start over here. One arm, next arm, up, all the way around. Arms up. It's a wave across the ocean. Arms up, arms up, arms up. And let's send it back, arms up. Oh, send it all the way down, send it all the way down. Woo! Okay, calm the seas. You can sit down, calm the seas. What could cause a ship to get wrecked on an island? It could be a storm. Could it be a storm that causes it? Storms can be scary. Storms could make you feel worried. Have you ever been in a storm? You could be confused or feeling like you're out of control. Sometimes, a lot of times, life is like a storm. And there's not a lot you can do to get out of it. You're in it. You're in the storm. Maybe it's a friend that moves away, or maybe you've lost your job, or maybe someone is sick in your family or yourself. These problems in life are the storms that come, and they come, and they will come. We've all experienced it. But the good news is Jesus is with you. He loves you, and he wants to be with you all the way through that storm. Okay, this morning, we're going to share with you our Bible Buddy, and the Bible Buddy is going to help us remember our theme this morning. It's going to teach us our theme, so get ready. Here it goes.
Even though you're shipwrecked, it looks like you're all making a splash with your new friends. Welcome back, and get ready to get your feet wet today. Take a look under the big blue, and you'll see me. I'm Ray, and I'm a giant manta ray. We're one of the coolest creations God put together, because we sort of fly through the water. The name manta comes from a Spanish word that means blanket. Can you see why? Like I said, I'm a giant manta ray, and I really live up to my name. Giant mantas can grow to about 30 feet across. That's bigger than 4 of your crew leaders laying down in a line. Even though we're big, we're pretty chill. And don't worry about that sharp tail. It's not a stinger. That would be on my cousin, the stingray. As we swim, we use these fancy fins near our mouth to scoop up lots of little tiny snacks called zooplankton. Just eaten on the go. Sometimes me and my friends need a bath. Yep, even though we live in the water. So we head down to a deep sea cleaning station. There, special fish take any bugs or germs off of us. Ah, that's much better. Being a manta ray isn't always smooth sailing, but I've learned to go with the flow. Ever wish you were a manta ray just gliding through the day? You've probably got some stuff in your life that ties you up in knots. You and your friends might not get along. You might not understand why someone is really sick. Or maybe school gets you frustrated. Those are struggles, things that tie our insides up in knots, things we want to fight or fix by ourselves. But in the Bible, Book of Psalms, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." When you're struggling with doubt or worry or fear, take a deep breath and be a manta ray. Rest in Jesus. Know that God is in charge. Wrap up in the blanket of Jesus's comforting love. Your problems may not go away, but your heart will have peace. When you struggle, Jesus rescues.
When you struggle,
Jesus rescues.
Jesus rescues. And we put our hands on our elbows like we're wearing a life jacket, right? Nice and tight. That's what we did. Some days in life are our struggle. It's true. It could be a struggle that we don't choose, something that's kind of on us like a sickness or a financial problem. And sometimes it's a struggle kind of within ourselves, like maybe not doing something you know you should do or doing something that you know you shouldn't do. These things are inside, and sometimes people can't see those struggles, but those are real. How many of you don't have to say what it is, but how many of you have a struggle in your life? I had to ask my wife when I was thinking about all this, honey, what do I struggle with? She knew right away. Okay? If you're having trouble thinking of something, ask someone close to you. Ask your kids. Ask your neighbor. They'll tell you. Because sometimes life is this knotted mess, and we want to fix it. We want to work hard and fix it, and we can't always. Or if you're like me, sometimes you just want to ignore it's there, right? Just push it back. I'll get to it later. Hope it goes away. But struggles don't always go away, and they don't leave quickly. But when you struggle, that's right. And Lynette is going to come and tell you a story about a person who has struggled in their life. Would you welcome her?
Good morning. So at my site and some of the other teachers that took over the week, we had Discovery Bible, and we taught that the Word of God is totally true. So I'm going to read from the Word of God this morning. Then Jesus, with his disciples, went down to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to feel sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch for me 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, oh, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time, and then he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with a large crowd, and they were armed with swords. And the priests and the elders of the people were with them. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal, and this is what he said, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. And with that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of one of the high priests and cut off his ear. "Put your sword away," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw by the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12,000 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that it says this must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat with you in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that it is written of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Wow. There's lots to think about in that little story. Like, what were the disciples thinking they were even doing there that night? Why is Jesus out here? He's going over there. Oh, I'm just going to take a nap, right? Maybe they had no clue. This story makes me think about something I found on the beach. Walking, searching. You ever find glass on the beach? Yeah, I found some glass. But it's been kind of changed a little bit. They call it sea glass because although it's broken glass, it's not sharp anymore. Can't cut me. It's been tumbled and tumbled and tumbled in the ocean for years until the edges have been worn off and it's kind of, it's not clear anymore. Can't see through it very well. It's endured winds and sand and tides and waves. And it's actually kind of beautiful. It's fun to look for glass on the beach. You know, the struggles we have that I'm talking about, they come in many shapes and sizes. Some of you have some really big struggles in your life that you're dealing with. And some of us have some little struggles. I got a little owie on my finger. And we have everything in between. Some struggles last a long time, and some are just short. But just like this sea glass is changed by the struggle that it goes through in the waves, we are changed our character is changed, our appearance might be changed, but we're changed on the inside, depending on maybe how we respond to the struggle. And change can be good. Adults, do you like to share your struggles with people? No, we don't like to share our struggles. We kind of keep those to ourselves, don't we? Kids, they're pretty open about their struggles, and that's great. But I want to encourage you that it's good to share your struggles. It's okay, because we all have them. And when people know about it, they can help you. They can pray with you, walk with you. They can encourage you. I really liked how Jesus came back to the disciples, and he didn't, you know, really scold them. He just said, come on, get up. We're praying here. He encouraged them. And oftentimes, I just feel like Jesus just wants to encourage us to keep going, to get up. It's going to be okay. I'm with you. I really like that encouragement. And when you get that from one another, doesn't that feel good? But I can't do that. You can't do that for your friend if you don't know what their struggle is. When I went through a struggle in my health a few years ago, I realized that how I feel, my emotions, became really real. And I thought, it made me think about before the struggle, I would kind of look at people who were a little emotional or too dramatic, and I would kind of judge them a little bit, right? Why are they being so emotional? Why do they have to share all their struggles with everybody? You know, that was how I thought. But when I was in that situation and I felt emotional pain and stress in my life, I went, oh, okay, that's what it feels like. That's real. What they're going through is real to them. And that changed me. I was like, okay, I get it now. I had empathy for them. I had compassion. And I could really honestly pray for them rather than just be like, I hope they get better and get over that. No, I was like, God, help them. Send someone to them. Love them. Touch them. It changed me. Our struggles can change us for the better. My struggle helped shape me, and your struggles help shape you. When Jesus struggled in the garden, what did he do? He was praying. He said, I need to pray. I need to talk to my Father. I think that's the first thing we can learn, is let's just talk to God. When we're in a struggle, that's where we should go first. But that night was just the beginning of his struggles. And made me think about Peter, his best buddy, so close, yet he followed Jesus. He wasn't going to get too close, I don't think. I think there was some fear going on there, because when he was asked, aren't you with him? No, 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 that's not me. You're thinking of someone else. He denied it, and Jesus knew it. But isn't that the worst thing you can do, is turn your back on your friend? So I had to put myself in Peter's shoes. Okay, he was afraid. He was worried for Jesus, but probably for himself and his future, and he just was confused. Everything was being taken from him right there in front of his eyes. And Jesus knew that. He knew what Peter was going through, and he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. Peter's life was turned upside down that night, and I've realized not to judge Peter for denying Jesus, and Jesus didn't either, because Jesus knew something. He knew his Father's heart. He knew that God wanted to save his children, and love was the overwhelming factor in the equation. So the struggle is there, right? And we look to God and we pray and we need to see his love. And that's going to hopefully start moving you, because that should overwhelm that struggle. I put a star by this part. This is a good part. God's love can overwhelm the struggle of your life so that we see past the struggle and we see God's glory. We may not see God's plan fully. That's okay. But we can trust him because we understand the incredible greatness of God's power. I'm reading that because I didn't write that. We understand the incredible greatness of God's power. One of our verses this week was Ephesians 1:19 and 20, and it says this: "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." I was like, oh, okay. This is the same mighty power? What? I was like, something's got to come before this verse. What is the same mighty power? So I look back to the verse before, and it says, Paul prays that we understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Wow. I need to understand how incredibly great and awesome God's power is, because when I know that, and I know he's pretty powerful, that just overwhelms my struggles, because he's far, far much greater than that. It makes me think differently now when I'm struggling, when I see other people struggling. I can encourage them in not just a, oh, it's going to be okay. No, God is with you. He is stronger than that struggle. Anybody like to struggle? No, I don't like to struggle. I don't like conflict. If you know me, it's like not something's my favorite thing to do. This up here is a struggle for me. I don't get up in front of you that often. So, but it's okay. I'm going to do it. It's fun. There's a plan here. We don't like to go through difficulties of life. Nobody does. Why did Jesus allow himself to do that? Because there was a plan. Because he was willing to obey his Father even unto death. He realized that his life was not his own. Listen to that. He realized his life was not his own. Wow. Jesus is my example. Is my life my own to do whatever I want? Well, I'm married. I have kids. No, my life is not my own anymore. You know, he realized, no, I'm going to do what my Father's asking me to do. If there's any other way, no. And I imagine God not like, come on, just do it, Jesus. I imagine God was in tears as well for what his son was going through. His life was not his own. His life was all of ours. Thank you, Jesus, for your life. His death is our death. And I mean that spiritually, like we die to sin and we're raised with him. His life is our life. Do you want his life? I want his life. That means his struggles are our struggles. So when we're going through struggles, he knows it. He's with us. He wants to rescue us. Does that mean he's going to take us out of it? No. That means he's going to put his arm around us and walk through it with us. It says he humbled himself because there was a bigger purpose. So we prayed, he obeyed, and then he humbled himself. Here's a question. So when we're struggling, and we all do, do we look to God and say, your will be done? I hear that from Darlene, my mother-in-law, a lot. And it's like, what faith, what desire to serve God. I need that. Do I stop and pray? Or do I get selfish and start thinking of me, right? Selflessness is humble like Jesus. Selfishness thinks of me first. Why is this happening to me? Jesus, get me out of this situation. No. If I'm thinking selflessly, I'm thinking, I'm in this situation. God, I'm still yours. Use me even in this horrible situation. Use me. Change me if you have to. Listen to Romans 5. This came to me and I thought, let's share it with you. It's 5:3. Oh, Paul. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Okay. For we know that they help us develop endurance. Well, I do want that. And endurance develops strength of character. I do want that. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And I do want that. So am I going to run from my problems? No. I guess I get to rejoice in them because they're going to change me and they're going to develop endurance and they're going to develop strong character and they're going to give me confident hope in the Lord. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. There's that understanding part again. We know it, that God dearly loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Do you want that? I want that. So we know God's hands are here. He's all around us. There's no place that we can go that he can't find us. And we learned on this week that even when we do wrong, Jesus rescues. So consider the prodigal son. You know the story. The son turned his back on the father. Really. Just, I'm done with you. I'm out of here. I'm going to go enjoy my life. Have we turned our back on God? The son demanded his inheritance. I want. I'm out of here. See ya. Have we left God for something flashier, something louder, something more entertaining? Don't say no too quickly. Yet when the son was at the end of his rope and he was eating what the pigs ate, he hoped that his father would at least employ him with the servants. They had it better than what he had it. Nope. The Bible says, the father, seeing the son a far way off, ran to him and embraced him. This is a picture of God. Our Father is longing to be with us. And even when we are still a far way off from being perfect, right? When we turn to him, he's there. Right there. Even when you're a far way off. So, when you struggle, and you will, turn to your neighbor and say, you will. You will. First, I say we follow Jesus' model and we turn to God and we pray and then we listen. What is the plan, God? What is the plan through this struggle? I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to follow your plan. He does want to be with you in every part of your life, even those struggles. And it's good to be thankful. When I was thinking about this, I thought what helps me is I start thinking about the good that I have. Not focusing on the struggle so much, but God, what do you have that's good right now for me? And that helps me to start thinking about God and what he's given me and stop looking inward and start looking toward him. And like the story of the prodigal son, when we look toward home, he sees us. And even though we're a far way off, he comes to us and he wraps his arms around us. And he says, welcome home. And then he turns to his servants and he says, come on, we're going to have a party. That my son's home. So we're going to sing a closing song together. And I just want you to think about maybe your struggle. Think about what the plan is for you. What is God telling you through that? And just know that he's with you through that struggle. We're going to sing a song called I Am. If you want to stand with us, go ahead.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace.